When two worlds combine, it sparks into existence a brand new life of clarity and cosmic insight. This is the truest form of alchemy. Join Becky Gregory and Hillis Pugh on Cosmic Insight, only on Real Revolution Radio X.
Welcome, all you cosmic explorers, to our beautiful new show, The Cosmic Insight. I'm Rebecca Gregory here with
Hillis Pugh, and we have a very, very special guest, a repeat guest, actually. We've connected with her on many times on multiple levels, Sherry Anshara. She is an international best-selling author, professional speaker, and former radio host of Conscious Healing, and a contributing writer to the national and international publications on the subject of the Anshara Method of Accelerated Healing and Abundance and Overall Wellness. Sherry utilizes her experience and expertise as a medical intuitive as the foundation of her groundbreaking work with cellular memory, which she calls the Anshara Method. Though the Anshara Method, you can access your cellular memories, which hold the root causes of all your symptoms, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, or financial. Sherry created this systematic process so you can rid yourself of unwanted limitations, restrictions, negative thought patterns, and toxic behaviors. And I can attest to this because I have actually had a session with Sherry. So yes, it is a marvelous thing to have. And so I welcome Sherry to the show.
Hey. Is she in? There she is. Welcome, Sherry.
Hello, 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 my dear. Welcome.
Be here.
So, Sherry, you know, you are definitely one of our favorites to talk with because you're very real, you're very raw, you always speak the truth no matter what it is. And, you know, there's a lot going on our planet and our nation and in our hearts right now. And I guess, you know, just want to dive right on into it. So with everything that's going on right now on the planet, you know, and with the nation, with the country, with the universe, you know, because we are in this new Aquarian energy. What is it that is in our cellular memory right now that is could be a contributing factor to what we are seeing, this unsettled energy?
The word is fear. And fear is really lack of information. So we live on a dualistic planet in a dualistic universe. This is not a judgment. This is how it works. So I'm going to show you something.
Okay. So
what is this symbol? It's infinity, correct?
Yes.
Now, what is this symbol? It's the hourglass. Now, take this symbol of the hourglass in infinity and put it together and have it come down and then turn it. It's called DNA. So right now we are processing DNA that isn't even ours. And I'm actually have written a book. We're not published yet. And it's all about how humans are trapped in the interloper's DNA. Wow.
Wow.
Isn't
and who are the interlopers for people listening?
Well, the interlopers are that what they call on this planet now the Cabal, or okay, the Illuminati, or their reptilian. Okay. However, before they got involved, there was a race of people that Sitchin wrote about. They were called the Anunnaki. Anunnaki simply means astronaut in Sumer or Sumeria. That's all it means. It's Sumerian. And when these individuals came, and by the way, they are not reptilian. That's very confused about people. They are not. They're actually Hebrews. They're Hebrews or Semitics. And they actually left the Pleiades, and we've been informed that there's seven Pleiades, only because they could see it in ancient times in a clear sky that wasn't toxic. But there's many more than that. So I'm giving you a history of this universe right now, too, and this planet. So
yeah, no, I love it.
And that's what I'm writing about in the book. So I'm going to give you guys a teaser because there's 38 chapters. So when this group came in, and I will give you analogies on our planet, how it incurred here, okay? So because I like to teach truth, and it sets you free, but it also gets me into trouble. But I love that because the more trouble I rattle people's molecules, the happier I am. So in that part, we all have belief systems. Belief systems start with BNS. It's all bullshit. And so that's the best part of duality, is all the bullshit that we bought into. It's amazing. So anyway, so when they came across this world, that's the 13th planet or whatever, they have an elliptical field, but they were searching for something because they have an artificial planet because they came from the Pleiades, and there's many, many races in the Pleiades. There's not the seven sisters. They're like way beyond that. And so when they came through, they were looking for this mineral called gold. And so they utilized that for their atmosphere. Now, Sitchin wrote a lot about that, but having had that experience there, I get it. I really get it. And so when they came here, they, or in all the other places, they stopped on Mars and they stopped here and they stopped there. They were actually found the gold, and that was actually in Africa, and it was called E dot din. Take out the dot. What does it spell?
Eden.
Yeah.
That's right. But it had a dot in it. You know, like we have Phoenix, comma, Arizona, or whatever. So that was a designation. And so isn't that interesting, as you asked me about cellular memory, that we now have in our cellular experience, our biological experience, that we now have dot coms. Wow. Aha. So really what I do is I take from this belief system or this belief system or this belief system, and I put it together so that we can get the truth out of it, not the snippets. Make sense?
It's total sense.
Yeah, perfectly. And
so when they came, they mixed up little sperm and egg, and they created the human race as we know it. And what they did, because we do not know, I do know, but we don't know how many strands of DNA. So they infused their strands of DNA in this upcoming race called humans. So if you look at it, let's say this is the Vietnam War, and our soldiers, doesn't matter what color they are, they go to Vietnam. And they fool around with the Vietnamese women, and they created a different race, because now they're part Vietnamese, they're part American, whatever color that is, and they were shunned. They were shunned because the Vietnamese didn't want them. Hey, that's not our genetic coding. And the Americans ignored it. They ignored it. So this race of people. So there was a book out years ago called The Island of Dr. Moreau. And they even made a movie about it, mm-hmm. where this is part of the cellular memory. And they were taking animals and genetically coding them and trying to make humans as a half-breed from the animals to the humans, just like what happened in Vietnam, or just what happened in, you know, in Russia, you know, when, or in, how about we'll go back as far as Rome or Greece. So when they started coming across the known world, they, you know, we had horny little soldiers. and that's what happened. And now we got a new breed. So take, you know, you have dogs. So let's take a poodle and a Labrador. And so man mixed those genes and got a poodle-dor or a labapoodle or whatever it is. But did they ask for that? Not really. No, I'm not wronging this in any way. But now let's take it to the realism of what happened to the humans. So they were ingrained, and that was Sumeria, and, you know, I'm like a history buff of this universe and this earth. And so they instilled some of their information in this double helix of DNA. Now I'm going to throw something in here that I didn't think I was going to do, but I am. So this is what the vaccines are about now, is more control. Because the human race has reached its limit for the cabal reptilians. So they're going to try to shut down the DNA by taking out one strand. And there's much more to this than you may imagine. So anyway, so we only have these double strands. That's not that smart. They actually have 12 with a connector. Mm-hmm. And that is what I teach people, how to become more conscious. So now when the Nibirians were done with this planet, they got their gold or whatever it is. Sounds like when we've got oil deposits or gold deposits during the gold rush. Yes. Or the diamond deposit, you mm-hmm. know, when, you know, at the biggie deals, you know, making the decisions, not choices for the worker bees. When they got what they required, they left.
Yeah.
They left. So let's go into the biblical part of it. There was a town called Babylon. And at the time, humans, during the time when the Nibirians were here, we all spoke one language because it was the language that they taught to the humans.
Yes.
But now they were starting to get smarter because of this interbreeding. So even though they were being controlled, there was the cellular memory. And so they got this idea to build this tower of Babel. And then they said, look, we can't have them speak in the same language. And that's the metaphor of the town Babylon. So everybody could babble on and babble on.
Yeah.
And know what the hell they were talking about. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I could say to Rebecca or Hillis, you know, I'm using the same word. Get out of here. Now, you know, I'm kidding. But what if I said, get out of here? I said the same words.
Mm-hmm.
But had completely different meaning. And so now they leave. They don't require it anymore. And then guess what happens? The reptilians are coming across. And actually the reptilians, and I'm giving you history, is a fact. They were the ones that brought duality into this universe when they came through their wormhole. Way before Zeta Reticuli. Way, way, way before that. And where they started was in the second set of the Pleiades, because the first set of the Pleiades, those beings that lived there, Pleiadians, whatever you want to call them, they were very conscious. And so they had abilities, so they weren't overwhelmed. So then they went on and moved on. And that is how duality was actually brought into their universe, into this universe, because it wasn't like that in the beginning, millions and trillions of years ago.
Yes.
So they would go. And so that is why, the Nibirians turned into Nibiru is because they left the Pleiades and, you know, built this artificial planet. Does that sound like anything different? You know, and when the Nibirians came with their ships, you know, and that they were like their little world. That's what a ship is. If you look at the example of a cruise ship, it's a world unto itself.
Yes.
Let's look at a battleship. A battleship is a world unto its own. You have the leader. So this is how we got confused. Are you guys bored yet?
No.
You have my wheels going, Sherry, like you always do. And I have like all these questions.
Time with Sherry today.
So stop me anytime. So now this is how the God got started. Because, and I'm going to use an analogy of World War II. Remember this? Oops, I did it again and again and again. It didn't matter if it was Julius Caesar or if it's Marcus Aurelius. And Marcus Aurelius actually said a quote years ago when he was Marcus Aurelius, that all we do is the same thing over and over again. I actually am going to post his quote on Facebook this week because it was so profound. You know, how many years does that go?
Yeah.
So, which has to do, I'm going to throw this in here, has to do with awakenings. I am so freaking sick of awakenings. We had awakenings in Greece. We had awakenings in China, Confucius. We had awakenings in India. We had awakenings with the Grand Poobahs. We had, so my movement is wake up. That is what we have to do wake up.
No, boy, as I like to call it, remember.
Yeah, we got to wake up. And so anyway, now they come. And so here is a planet used to praying to a god, because they came out of ships. It was just a ship. You know, sometimes you have Volkswagen ships and sometimes you have Mercedes ships, you know, and sometimes you have, you know, whatever it is. So each race has their own kinds of ships, right? It's for wherever they are. And because they have better technology doesn't mean they're smarter. And that's the point of the reptiles, cabal, and Illuminati. They have ruled on this planet in fear. And that's why they are now taking the emotion of fear and putting it in AIs, because that's what they feed on. That's why they keep these wars going. So in the 50s, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, so that kind of brings us back to where we started this whole conversation, is with the cellular memory and the fear. Mm-hmm. And so when you were doing the infinity sign, and then the hourglass, and what drew my attention or sparked this thought was that this whole other dimensional space. So you have the infinity sign, and there's the point in the middle where the energies meet. Mm-hmm. And that's the dividing line, or the mirror, if you will, the reflection of it all. And so it depends on what, in my mind, depends on what side you're looking on, or looking to or through, rather. It's you are looking at yourself in this duality energy, or looking at yourself, or judging yourself in this mirror, or whatever it is. And so you're at this point where you can see this reflection, and you are making this judgment or this decision or this choice of whether should I or how can I break this cycle? How can I improve upon this, or have this wish list of things? And, you know, as he said, you know, the infinity sign, you keep doing it over and over and over again. And along with the hourglass, you keep doing it over and over and over again. So at some point, do you feel that axis in the middle where the energies meet, what is it that you know or have seen to where someone can really interrupt that, to really break that and start something new?
Okay. So number one, a reflection isn't real. Mm-hmm. There's no, you know, there's no, you look in the mirror, there you are, you walk away, it's not there. So one of the things that I teach is about projecting. So when you get to that center point, that can be still point. So it can be zero point. Zero point is you're at noon, and are you going to go back into duality? Are you going to go in a new direction? Mm-hmm. But when it's still point, it's not about just being quiet. It's about recognizing that you do not have to go back into that duality grid, because the DNA of double helix is a matrix of duality. It is a matrix of duality. Mm-hmm. So because our genes have been interfered with, you know, the Anunnaki leave, we're there, and the reptilians come in, they're used to fighting. They're used to fighting. And they didn't have to, because they have these little pods of people all over the world. And I'll backtrack. Remember the flood was supposed to wipe out everybody? Mm-hmm. Well, how come it didn't? Because what they were doing is they went back in the labs and they started reproducing humans again out of the petri dish in the labs. What are they doing now with AIs? Because humans, who they fed off their fear, is no longer their food, because somebody came up with the idea of emotional intelligence. There is not 1 ounce, not a speck of intelligence and emotions. Emotions are a duality that keep us fear-based. When we're emotional, we're fearful. But when we are what my first tool I teach is NEO, non-emotional observer, then you observe yourself and others, and then you have to say, am I going to jump back into this, or I'm going to say, I'm done. I'm complete. Not the end, because the end has prequels and sequels. But, you know, Star Wars, Star Trek, it's sequels. But when you say you're complete, And that's what I assist my clients or friends. And when they get complete, their lives begin to change because they are in charge. And so I'm going to give you an analogy. So here you are, you have these races, whatever, they're just starting to whatever. And this thing comes overhead. They don't know what it is. And these beings or people start coming out. Let's just call them people. Let's not call them beings anymore. They're just people. That's who they are. You know, they could be butt ugly, but they're still people. So they came down and they had their space helmets on and all that crap. And they've gotten better than that. That was a long time ago. Now, just consider, this is World War II. This is Borneo. And the natives that lived in Borneo, the indigenous people, had never seen people. All of a sudden, a C-47 comes over, a bunch of them. And these people with parachutes, wings on, come dropping down out of the sky. And they have cars, jeeps, and food. Yeah. And they went back in the mid-50s. See, I'm a researcher. And guess what they were doing? They were worshiping the gods. Mm-hmm. But now let's get the perspective on it, not perception, which is a reception and deception of our conception perspective. Mm-hmm. We're worshiping the ground pounders, for cripe's sake, because if a spaceship comes by or whatever, they're not going to send the pilot out, or they're not going to send the emperor out. They're going to send the ground pounders. So the humans have been worshiping ground pounders for centuries and eons. Wake up. Isn't that irritating?
Yes, it is.
And I used to know about the military.
It's funny. Listening to your story, Sherry, I mean, from the beginning, you know, the Eden and the separation, it's like we have formed this humanity that we're on now, you know, in that fear base from the very beginning. When that first separation began, we lost the purity of who we are.
Yes. And that's what I teach, becoming real humans.
And now I feel, you know, I don't know if you feel this right now, you know, now we're at the point where we're coming back to that purity because we're waking up to that zero point, and that stalking of ourselves is becoming more prevalent in every day, in stalking everything from like a chocolate chip cookie. Like, why do I like this chocolate chip cookie? You know what I'm saying? It's like that stalking has to really get detailed down to a freaking cookie of why do I believe I love this cookie?
Don't get me started on cookies.
I know you love cookies. Maybe that's why you said it. You want a cookie right now, don't you, Hillis? Hillis loves cookies.
So are we going to eat real chocolate, or are we going to be given a substitute that duality does?
Yes.
Yeah, and you know.
It never made sense to me. Never.
No. A lot of things on this planet don't make sense to me at all.
Speaking of not making sense. What you brought up, Rebecca, was another question that was sparked when we came up when Sherry talked about the designation of Eden, of it being a place, but also more of how it was utilized. And you know what's come to my mind is last night I was watching Lovecraft's Country, amazing show. And my favorite episode so far is the episode of titled I Am, where the character gets sucked off into this other dimensional space, and there's this cyborg-like female that comes out, and she says, name yourself. And I'm like, and she's like, name myself? What do you mean, name myself? And so she goes through these different lives, living these lives with trying to figure out who she is, trying to name herself. And then she settles upon a name, and she still isn't happy with the name that she's given herself. And so she has to go back and search even deeper to really know who she is. And I feel that's where we are right now. We have this pivotal point. Well, in my mind, in my opinion, that we are at zero point right now. We are at this place of naming ourselves. And now how do we step into the energy of really naming who we are and getting to where we are?
But do we have to name who we are?
Yeah.
But there's a key to it. And the key is the word resonance.
Yes.
See, we have been taught that it's frequency and vibration. It isn't. Resonance is the key. So frequency and vibration are byproducts of resonance. Are you going to resonate to fear and the duality belief systems, or are you going to begin to resonate to your own truth, your own, whatever that is, Hillis, Rebecca, or anybody, so that you can now begin, and you hit the word feel, who you really are,
mm-hmm.
instead of attempting to be someone who labeled you of who you are.
Yes.
So when I'm working with people, for instance, in relationships, I assist them to cancel the contracts. It doesn't mean they're dumping people in their family. What it means is, and I'll give an example with one of my relatives. I said, you know what? I might be your aunt, but I'm done with that contract. I would just like to be a woman, a person, a frenemy, or a mentor, or whatever. But I don't require to be in the duality box of being an aunt. And I don't require you to be in the duality box of niece or nephew or whatever it is. So let's cancel the contracts and let's make a clear agreement that we can participate with each other. However, there's one little caveat only. One caveat, we do not talk about anybody in the family because they're doing their thing. So why take up our space, our time, and our conversation with something we cannot change about someone because they're doing their own thing? Mm-hmm. You can't even imagine what that, because now we can talk person to person, frenemy to frenemy, mentor to whatever, but we can now, we don't have to be in the box of duality of that label. And that's making an agreement and canceling contracts.
That's awesome. And that's so true now. You know, we get so caught up in, oh, I'm this or I'm that, or, you know, all those labels we put upon ourselves, and we don't have to function from that space, and also get caught up in trying to control everyone else, what they do around whatever. And that's like not our freaking business. Like, they're on their own damn path. Let them be where they are. And yeah. And just step away from that to be in communion with yourself and who you're in communion with in that moment.
Yes. Yeah. And it's the resonance, because we actually communicate 99% through our field, not words.
Yeah.
Yes.
And for those who are watching, Sherry, can you just be a little elementary for us and break down the difference between frequency, vibration, and resonance?
Okay, resonance is like a platform or a foundation. So I'll do it really in an easy way. You know, I used to resonate to flying. I love flying. I had my own airplane, whatever. My mother and sister resonated to sewing. They were fabulous seamstresses. I can't even sew on a button. It's pathetic. But I could resonate changing the oil in an airplane, not in a car. But so resonance is what they are connected to. And through that became their frequency and vibration. So my mother and sister made fabulous clothes, which I was a recipient of, but they really had a craft. That was what they could do. I could not do that. And at first they didn't want, they thought, well, that was silly. You're a girl. You can't fly, whatever. So then what you are when you resonate and you are on that frequency, there is a connection in that frequency now. And from that frequency, you send out the vibes. The vibes are then when someone connect with you. So I had a lot of friends that were both male and female that were pilots, and we would just have the best time together. But if I went to my mother and sister's sewing circle, I'd be sitting there like, what are you talking about? You know, I just couldn't get it. And it was like, oh my God. And so when I was in school, they talked me into taking home ec. And I actually went to the principal and said, please, you know, I couldn't go to shop then because they wouldn't let you. And I said, is there some other job I can do? And they said, be a hall monitor, but you have to tell people, you know, to be quiet. Well, that never happened. And I took the job at the hall monitor and we would have the best time. So it's the resonance, what you resonate to. And then the frequency is the connection. And then the vibration is what you're expressing.
Expressing's putting out.
Beautiful. And just a quick follow-up to that, is alignment the same as resonance, or are those two different as well?
Well, if you are in alignment, say to a belief system that you're stupid, you are going to align yourself with what you create as being stupid. But when you align in consciousness outside of duality, non-duality, then you are in alignment with yourself. In the belief systems, you have to be in alignment with someone else.
So resonance is
so always- my sister and mother liked me to be in alignment with their sewing bees. And I was more in alignment with the guys that were pumping gas at the airport.
So the resonance is almost like your heart song, like what's in your heart and where you feel from. And then what you align to is almost like you're in the resonance of, and you align to what you feel in your heart, or that resonant of who you are.
Yes. And change that's it. Your truth.
That's your truth. Yes.
Truth, Rebecca. Otherwise, up here, it's true. Oh, it's true I'm a failure, or it's true that I can't do this, or it's true I'm a certain age. Here's an example. When I first went to work, they said, you have no experience. And then one time, I had too much experience. I said, is there a magical date where you just have the correct amount of experience, but it only lasts 24 hours?
So going back to, just to clarify, I'm just trying to wrap around what I'm feeling here. So almost like resonance is almost the core, and the alignment too is actually changeable on, is the changeable element within ourselves, but the resonance is the truth of ourselves.
Yes. And so the wonderful thing about when you're in resonance and you're in your truth, it's flexible.
Mm-hmm.
It's flexible. So here is like a ridiculous, ridiculous example, but it's perfect. Someone I knew said, I hate sour cream. I would never eat sour cream. That is the most god-awful stuff. And at that time, I used to cook beef stroganoff. What is one of the main ingredients?
Sour cream.
Exactly. And finally, I had to fess up to the person who said, oh my God, this is so, and I didn't even eat it because I don't eat meat, but oh, I love it. It's so good. And I said, you know what? I'm going to have to say, I know you hate it, but you don't know that you like it because somebody told you it was no good for you and you had to hate it. And you've been eating it in my house.
Well, we all do that, don't we? It's like we get these crazy ideas in our head. I don't like that. And you don't even know where it came from. And then you just live by it. Like onions is a big thing in our family. Everybody in our family does not like onions. And it's like, I don't know. It's really funny. So that's so true on how we can have some silly little belief system that as just a, not liking some food that controls us to keeping stagnant when we could expand out.
And you can give it a shot or not. But see, but that's why I like flexibility. When you hit your truth, it's more flexible. And then you have experience. So people say, why did I come here? You know, you didn't come here to live out karma lessons, reincarnation. That's the same crap.
Yeah.
You came here to experience the experiences you created to experience. But we are told we have to experience other people's experiences. If we choose to do that, it's fine. But there are many times when I'm not going to choose to experience what someone's experiencing. I can observe them, but no thanks.
So talking about experiences and what's happening in the world right now, are you tapping into, I guess, well, every experience is in person, but any experiences for yourself that you find are shifting and changing with this new energy in this new world that's we're moving into?
Okay, so we are at a juncture. We are at a still point. Mm-hmm. And so I'll go back to history because Khrushchev said, we will take over your country to be communist from the inside out. This is sort of what's happened. So I'm going to give you a crazy analogy. Is that okay?
Sure.
Always.
Really crazy. Okay, because we're talking about Pleiadians or we're talking about Cirrus beings or the Nibirians, correct?
Yes.
Did you know that Jesus is a Pleiadian? Did you know
yes,
that?
Yes, I did.
And when he came here with what his idea is, Now, I'm not getting political. If anybody's listening, I'm being political. I absolutely am not. But I even pointed it out that many of the game changers that came in their idea of their mission or their goal or whatever that showed up into the humanness, you know, because they knew, look at the chaos it caused and look at all the hate that after Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, I this is not pro-Trump, anti-Trump, but a lot of people, and Trump is a Pleiadian. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
I've read about that some different places, but there wasn't anything that I can really.
But it's a fact because I can see it. And so now I'm going to say something that is going to be shocking. He's the first non-reptilian president we've ever had.
Exactly.
That I did not know.
And now look what's happening.
Well, I mean, I guess if you think about it, you know, all the presidents are cousins from Washington on, so.
Exactly.
Change.
And so we have to be very clear. And so I just did my insider secrets of the shift. I'll put a plug in here. I do it, you know, every other week on Eventbrite because I get thrown off of Facebook, but I do that. And so it's to get the experience and putting like the history in the groups together. And group means to grow up, but we can't grow up anymore. We've got to grow. Yeah. So if we look at the history, and actually there's a new program, I haven't seen it. They were talking about the Ottoman Empire. This is their tagline. One empire goes down and another one comes up. Isn't that what's happened through every government across this country?
Oh, yeah.
And so we have talked about people using psychics. Now, I'm not wronging anybody. I'm just telling you. Did you know that the Romanovs used Rasputin, who was a psychic?
Yes.
Did you know that the highest echelon of the Nazis with Hitler used to go to this castle and they would hire psychics to tell them how wonderful that's going to be. Did you know that? And let's go back to Greece. If you go back, they had a place where they used to go. God, I had it written down here. I can't remember what it is now. The Oracle at Delphi. And people used to come to the Oracle at Delphi. Do you know what the Oracle at Delphi is? It's a psychomantia. Do you know what that is? They would go into a completely dark room and they would begin to channel. Now, I'm not against channels because I talk to different people, but I make them fill out an application. Who are you? Where are you coming from? Don't give me any psychobabble. Speak the truth and speak in my language and don't tell me dearly we beloved we're here or get the hell out. I'm not kidding you. I kid you not. And right now I'm actually in conversation with 58 races of people outside this duality universe.
Wow.
But anybody can do it. I am not special. You can remote view, you can bilocate. I teach people how to do it. It's that easy. When the military did it, it was to find the enemy. I say, when we do it, let's find the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you look at how some of the like metaphysics or science has been used,
yes,
has been used. You know, if it wasn't for Madame Curie, we wouldn't have had the atomic bomb. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at her life, she got the Nobel Peace Prize. And when she won it the second time, because she was a woman in that time frame, this is not male bashing in any way, duality bashing, yes. But they told her she couldn't come to pick it up. But she did anyway. And she said, I'm going to do this. So I'm not putting myself in where they are, but when I started writing about cellular memory in 1991, that cellular memory is who we are. We can access our continuum. There's not a past life. It's in your body. And so they told me I was nuts. And then the transplants hit. And people were getting cellular memory from the donor's organs. And then some of the, you know, doctors or scientists said, well, sure, maybe you're onto something. Well, now when I put this book out in DNA, they're going to go crazy. And so, but you, what you have inside of you, Rebecca, heal us what you have inside of you is all of these recordings. And FYI, Akashic Records are in your spinal column, the spin of all. That's your Encyclopedia Britannica. That's where your Akashic or Akashic Records are. Mm-hmm. So you are a plethora. So can you imagine if we all really got conscious, got out of duality on this planet, what we could create and what we could access that we had done in a timeline that we could utilize and be even better.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you are full of that information. And information means in form at your ion cellular level.
Do you have any quick little tool you could help some of the listeners listening to it? Because I know right now navigating the duality and being in the, you know, it's really challenging right now. That a quick little tool, I know you teach a whole series and everything, but any quick little tool you could give?
My book. Do you see this from teaching out of it? Actually, I had a client that bought this book and she just called me and said, I want 12 more to give to my family.
Awesome.
And she's up in the hospital in Oregon. It's called Take Back Your Power, You Becoming You. And I have another book. This is on Amazon. And I have another book that I wrote, I don't know how many years ago. And it's called And the Point Is Beyond Duality.
Gotcha.
It'll be the best $20 ever. And the point is, and I wrote it years and years and years ago, and it's called And the Point Is Beyond Duality. It actually gives you the, and this book actually is the rewrite of my first book that was 138 pages and it's almost 500.
Got you.
So I will say this. For anyone who's, I highly recommend you booking Sherry for one of her private sessions, because I had one with her and it was remarkable. You know, being one of one who is of service, you know, like myself, that goes out into this world and performs and be of service and do the work that I do. To have someone to sit with me or with anyone and understands the complexity of the biological structure that is us, to understand how to access information, how to see information, and how to interpret it. And that's the key, is the interpretation piece is really wonderful, because Sherry is one of those people who I've had the pleasure of sitting with and to really, and she gets it. And for someone, you know, of service, you know, light worker, light being, whatever you want to call it, to another, I mean, there's no words, except you just have to experience it for yourself. I mean, there was so much clarity thereafter, so much more understanding of what you do. And yes, I'm doing a shameless plug because I love Sherry.
I'll plug too. I haven't had a session with you, Sherry, but I did do the little mini session with you. And for me, that was life-changing. And I have to say, anybody, you know, I do recommend everybody get a session with Sherry as well, because I loved how you were able to cut out the bullshit and fine-tune down, get right into like what it was that I didn't want to look at, because I myself and been avoiding whatever it was for however many years, and you were just able to allow me to go into me and really dwell down into that cellular memory as being my guide to like just get down to the bullshit, get right to what it was, and then it was gone. So
yeah, and then you don't have to take up space. It's like zap. It's so fun and I love it. And I'm not healing anybody. So
thank you.
I'm just supporting you to heal yourself. And you know what? This is what I call healing. It's just addressing the issues that got stuck in the tissues. Now let's get it out.
Yes.
And that's how I see everybody, is the remarkableness of them. And what you, Rebecca, what you healers have to contribute to this planet now, and the contribution that you're doing through your shows and interviewing, because whoever that person is, they're going to resonate to someone in your audience. It might be in one thing they said, change that person's life and says, you know what? I really could do this.
Yes.
Because I don't have all the answers. You do. They're inside you.
And I'd like to answer a question that, you know, a lot of people, and this is just my own personal question, I always feel that, you know, we caught in this belief system that healing has to be our own self-healing, going back through trauma, has to be a long drawn out process. It doesn't. It can be like zap. And I just wanted to clarify that, because I think a lot of people get caught up in, well, I have to go, you know, yes, you're always cleaning and deeping and things might pop up around it because that cellular memory might take mind to unwind, but it, can you confirm that it's not, doesn't take a long time to zap ourselves out of our bullshit?
It doesn't. Actually, can I share the funniest story?
Of course.
This is like part of it. So this lady comes to me and she's very corporate, like very corporate. And she walks in and she's like this, you know, like, so I know she's corporate. So I use the Socratic method on her, you know, because I know all that bullshit. And so she said, I've never changed. Now she doesn't know. I know her friend who invited her to come to me, right? Because I've never changed. And so when she said that, I go, so let me get this straight. You've never changed, never changed. I go, okay, I get that. I said, you know what, my dear, I'm much more impressed with your mother's vajayjay. Because if you came out with those high heels, that suit and hairstyle, your mother's vajayjay rocks. But my dear, you're somewhere between diapers and Depends. Underwear, do you think you haven't changed? You have. And she dropped and she started laughing and she said that was stupid. So she thought when she came, we were going to do weeks, with your point, Roberta, she thought we were going to do weeks and weeks of talking about the same thing. And really what we attributed to, I don't know if she was 7 or 8 years old, someone had said something to her. Our brain has even developed as a computer till we're 25 that don't change, just be who you, just don't change. But they really were giving advice, but you're telling a little kid don't change. And they're going, well, wait a minute, my body changed. You know, I grew boobs. You know, I've got hair under my armpits. So I say it in a practical way. So she was trying to hold on to somebody else's belief system. Mm-hmm. And everybody told her that you need years and years of head therapy. Well, that's terrifying in itself.
Yeah.
So wouldn't you say, Sherry, that part of our, or what we think, is our own issues and belief systems are a replication of the belief systems of our parents and everyone else, because it is such an impressionable energy that we as children, as young souls, really don't know how to navigate or interpret this new spatial energy or the spatial awareness. So we lean on those who have been here longer to think, well, you're in a new space. This is what you got to do. You got to do it this way. Then you got to do it that way. Then when we become of age, we are stuck infinitely in that duality until we inherently break our cycle and allow ourselves to do the own healing or transmuting, as I like to call it, to allow us to be better, right?
Yes. And so the caveat that's going on now is we become more conscious, and the two of you are contributing to that. You are major contributors. And if you look at it from that standpoint, and I'm writing it in my new book, that a lot of our diseases and our relationship problems were put in there mm-hmm. by both the Nibarians and the Reptilians. So if you look out into the universe, they were fighting each other like Cain and Abel. Mm-hmm. If you look at like Jews and Arabs fighting each other, do you know that the word Arab is Arab? It's Arab. It is a Hebrew word. Mm. Are they fighting themselves? Yeah, genetically they are. They're fighting themselves. Or let's go to Ireland. You got Northern and Southern Ireland. They're fighting over a dead king, a dead politician, and a dead pope. And they're still genetically the same. So you see, we are taught in the genes, because that gene pool from those two other races, or even some of the other ones that have come in, we are processing their bullshit. Mm-hmm. And I find that offensive. Really, I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so
because they were fighting each other.
Right. So wouldn't this also suggest in some way that part of this duality energy, you know, this fighting and the carrying on of this old energy that's not ours. You know, every generation is new, but every generation still carries the energy of the previous one. So wouldn't you say that part of this also has to do with the imbalance of the masculine and feminine energies, because of the duality was leaning towards masculine. Now it's, you know, going or and finding its balance in the feminine.
That is absolutely what you just said is perfect. And so if you look at religion, they call the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What the hell is a Holy Ghost? I'm not wronging it. But the word Yahweh has four components. I even have a graphic I created. I teach people how to be God, but I have to call it Godness because I don't want some effigy being burned on my front lawn. So this is Yahweh is four. And this is what I figured out. The female is your creative side. It is non-gender. This is a tool I teach all the time. This is the creative side. Your right brain organizes your creativity through your body of Christ, not anything to do with Jesus. He was a nice God, nice guy, but Christ means crystal clear in Greek, and it means Messiah. You got to save yourself from the bullshit. So here is create, organize. Your body implements, you implement. In the implementation, say you're creating this pen. I got an idea. I organize it. I make the template. I send, six contracts out, purchase orders to people, plastic injection molding, you know, the ink and whatever, packaging and marketing, and it comes back to me. Now through the left brain, I organize the manifestation, the manufacturing. And then through my heart, which you hit on, Rebecca, is the most expanded resonance. And through my hands, in the Hebrew alphabet, is kaf in the palm, I actualize. That's the name of God, to create, implement, manifest, and actualize. And you use your computer brain to organize it.
Wow.
I mean, it's that simple. And that's the four letters of Yahweh.
Isn't that the biggest joke ever? It is that simple. We make it so difficult.
And it's like when people all this layers of stuff, we don't know how to get through it all.
Yeah. And all I've done is made it simple and comprehensible and yes, really easy with the tools. And I've been doing this, you know, whatever, how many, we've all been doing this for how many centuries, but now we've come together to change the resonance. And the cabal knows that if we're fearful, they can lord over us. Well, yes. I'm sorry, it's not going to work, lordy, lordy. I'm not buying it. I'm not afraid of you.
So that resonance is going from fear-based to love-based.
Yes.
Yes. And unconditional love and acceptance of your own self. And what can they do? What can they do?
Right. And so taking what you just said about Yahweh, how can we now take that and apply it to what's happening now in America, on the planet, universe? How can we take that and apply it to where everyone can really step into their God or Goddess power?
Yeah, and it's the Godness. I call it Godness because it's the essence of God. And so knowing that your female creates, your male manifests, your body implements, but your heart is what actualizes your life. And so when you are heart-based, not the head left computer brain-based, because this is recreate. You know, Britney Spears said, oops, I did it again, is recognizing the profiles and the behaviors and roles. Mm-hmm. So if there's a profile in our lives or lifetimes, whatever, in our body that we're afraid of, there's only 1% of them. And I am on a bandwagon that they have no right to destroy the human race. They have no right. We do not have to be their food source anymore because they feed on our fear. And they have no right. Mm-hmm. And they have no right to say who lives and who doesn't live. They've already done this in Russia, you know, in all, they did this in Germany, they did this in Rome, they did this when Attila the Hun was going across and he went to a town and he said, if you're for me, you live, and then you do what I say, or if you don't, I kill you. No, that those there's no options there. We create the options. Sorry, reptiles, cabal, Illuminati. Goodbye.
Awesome.
I am not afraid of you. So a resonance. So what is the tipping point? So I asked the two of you and us together, let's create a resonance. I got goosebumps of the tipping point where we step into our power, not the force that they have forced us.
Yes.
And say goodbye. We can live together, or you can just get on your ships that you have and get the frick off this planet and out of this universe because you screwed it up to begin with.
I always love to say no more, no more.
Yes, that is no more, no more. I learned that one
from my beautiful Aunt Pi when she was transitioning. Those were the last words she said. She put her hands up and said, no more, no more.
So beautiful. Just beautiful. That. So I will give you a tip. They are closing down the grid. You know, the karma lessons of reincarnation. So yeah. Where you leave, and I've been teaching this for years, is where you pick up. So a lot of the people that are going to be pissed off, but they say, well, I'll come back and do it again. They won't be able to get back.
No, nope.
They won't. They're shutting down the grid. Yep. And so they're doing everything they can to depopulate the planet. And the vaccine is one of them. It's the food. It's the air. It's the heart project that they started in 57. It's 5G. They've already implemented 6G. And that affects the computer brain. So that's what's happening. But the two of you are like making difference. Your light is information.
Thank you.
And the more information that you get out, it's going to, if it was one person, then two, and then four, and then eight, and 16, and 32, and 64, and on and on and on. And that's what we must do, is be together. And say no more to them. No more. Sorry. No more.
Thank you. And I think we're at the top of the hour. I forgot to look when time we started recording.
I know. I think we're almost there. I don't know. Sherry, I always lose track of time when talking with you because you are such a wealth of information. You are such a delight. And, you know, I know when people come into contact with you, and you share your wisdom and your Sherryisms and your research, it only allows for us to really take in the information and to really understand it. And then next step is to apply it, to actualize it, and to really see how it resonates with us to allow others to connect with and be a resonance for them.
Yeah. And the wonderful thing when we share information, here's an example. I am not a camper, honest to God. My idea of camping is in a 5-star resort. I do not have any camping genes, none. But yet I've got some friends and I can not live vicariously, but I love the things they share in the pictures because they go out in the wilderness. I mean, in the wilderness. And I love sharing and experiencing and looking at their pictures, and I can see the light and the just the love on their faces. And so I can so appreciate it. However, I don't have to go out there with the mosquitoes and the bugs. But you see, that's how we share, and that's how we learn to grow, not grow up, but to grow in all directions.
Yeah, yes. I love that.
We can have so many experiences by just sitting in our home and opening up to the experiences that are out there everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. I experienced that.
A new client said, I'd like to start a business. And I said, what's the two things you love to do best? She said, travel and do pictures. I said, why don't you create a business around taking your photographs and all that stuff? And because people are at home, and do online travel with them.
Yeah.
And that's what she's going to do.
That's beautiful.
And the job she has now is going to be her tool.
Perfect. Yeah. going back to that heart and that resonance.
Yeah.
That's where the flow is.
Yeah, and that's where it is. That was a 30-minute conversation. That was it.
So in closing, do you have any words of wisdom you like to share with the listeners?
Well, I mean, Sherry-isms.
Sherry-isms, I'm sorry. Sherry-isms.
Well,
I'm not sorry.
This is one of my favorites. I say it to myself every day. You've probably heard this one, but I love this Sherry-ism, is that what I say makes my day.
Yeah.
And what I say can make or break somebody else's day. And I also love to do deliberate acts of kindness.
Yes.
Not random, but deliberate. And it might be in the grocery store saying something to someone, oh, God, you have the best smile. And you don't have to say your name or anything. You know, I say that, you know, when I go to the store. Thank you for being here, because if you weren't being here, I wouldn't be able to get these, you know, groceries. So that's what I do. I thank people and they're just amazed, you know, like, wow, no one ever thanks me for being here. Well, I'm thanking you because I wouldn't have these groceries.
That's beautiful. And that's the way we should function in the world.
Yeah, exactly. I even stop people on the street and say, oh my God, that is the cutest darn dog you have. I can't help it. Because it's called being the observer, Neo, non-emotional observer. And you know what? You might turn someone's day around or week around because you don't know what's going on inside them.
Or even life around. There could be somebody that's ready to end their life. And by making that little gesture of acknowledging them could prevent them from doing something silly to themselves.
Yeah, especially now. Mm-hmm. Especially now, because people are feeling isolated.
Yes. So we have to be kind to ourselves first and kind to others right now.
Yeah. And one of the things I do also is I will call somebody that I haven't talked to in a long time, whether they answer or not. And I'll say, hi, this is Sherry. I just love the idea of hearing your voice, because your voice, it gives me such great memory. So I'm just saying hi. And when I get off a conversation, I always say, love you, bye. Because that's the last thing we said to each other. Love you, bye.
Oh, beautiful.
Isn't that funny?
It is. I love that.
So, Hillis, do you want to wrap up with anything?
I'm sorry?
Do you want to wrap up with anything this evening or today? Or the sun's going down here, so I'm getting into the evening.
You know, it's interesting because, like I said, every, you know, time, this is my third time connecting with you in the interview way, Sherry, and I just adore and love your energy. And, you know, for those who are wanting to understand a deeper, more resonating relationship with yourself, start within. You know, as Sherry, we've been talking about this whole hour. We, you know, go with your heart, start with your heart, live in your heart. You know, we've gotten so guided by living in our heads, and now it's time to move into our hearts as we move forward into this new divine Aquarian energy of peace, love, happiness, and creativity. So, yeah, you know, live in that.
Just beautifully said. Mm-hmm. Beautifully said.
And Sherry, I want to thank you so much for joining the both of us today and just sharing your wisdom, your knowledge, your resonance, your beauty, your vibrant, just amazingness that you are and what you give, your gift to the world, and what you have been doing of saying yes to yourself. Because if we all say yes to ourselves, that's what's going to put the role in to change the world to what the truth of what we all want to live in. Yeah. So
absolutely.
I thank you so much once again for joining us, and further ado, I appreciate everybody for listening today, and I guess our next show will be our next show is us, so you get to hang with Hillis and us, so who knows what it'll be. It'll just be a fun time here. So thanks again, everyone, for joining us for Cosmic Insight here with Sherry and Shara, and her information will be listed on the YouTube video and on Binge Network, so all her information, so you could contact her and get her book and read her beautiful stories and information that she has given us. So thank you so much, and Hillis.
Thank you, Cosmic Explorers, and Sherry. It's been an honor. And everyone, until next time.
Heard instead,
dear listeners,
through podcast radio
on realrevolutionradio.com.
Never before has inspirational podcast radio been taken to this next level of wow. Until now. Today, in the age of information, more and more people are searching for answers and in solutions in how to better approach and perceive every day-to-day concerns by tuning in to realrevolutionradio.com. Isn't it about time we take back our lives, back in consciousness, in a higher state of awareness, in the evolution of our own state of higher well-being? Yes, we can do so consciously every day by tuning in to the many groundbreaking and third eye opening podcasts. Our new Cleveland based network of over 33 paradigm shifting internet talk shows only on realrevolutionradio.com. Be part of that change. Evolve. Be inspired.